We're so happy to have Thomas B. Warren with us today. Here's Mr. Warren.
Thank you, Brother Roper. It's indeed a real pleasure to me, and I count it an honor to be with you on this program today and to speak with our audience concerning the topic, You Can Be Just a Christian and Know That You're Just a Christian. Actually, the background of this study has to do with a passage from the very first chapter in all of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 11, where the Bible makes clear that every seed will bring forth after its kind. Now, this is a truth that all of us know, whether we had ever read the Bible or not. In fact, I can recall, in early 1943, in the South Pacific, one day, a fellow airman and I were walking through the jungle on this small island, the jungle very, very thick, and no kind of fruit trees grew there, so far as I knew, except a few papaya trees. But one day, suddenly, as we were walking along, we came upon an orange tree. Now, let's think about this for a moment. I want to draw here on the blackboard. Here's the tree. And let us say that here am I, standing over at the side. And I look and see on this tree that there are oranges. Now, I know the very fact that the tree is here means that there were seed below, that this grew from some seed. This tree would not have been here without some kind of seed. Further, by the fact that I see the fruit, that it's oranges, it isn't apples, it isn't watermelons, it isn't okra, it isn't corn, I know what kind of seed this was. I know that it was an orange seed that resulted in an orange tree, and the fruit was an orange. Now, going back to the New Testament, in Galatians chapter 6, beginning with verse 7, we find the Bible teaching, be not deceived. Now, that means don't let anybody pull the wool over your eyes. Don't let anybody mislead you or lead you down the wrong path. Be not deceived. Well, what's the matter about which the deception is? God is not mocked. That means literally in the Greek Testament, you cannot turn up your nose at God. That means you cannot make things turn out other than how God said they would. Well, what's the matter at hand? How is it that God said things would turn out? Note the words of Paul. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now, that's saying, in effect, exactly the same thing that was said in Genesis chapter 1, verse 11, that every seed would bring forth after its kind. Facing every one of us is what we're to do with our lives and what our eternity will be. And with each and every one of us, that principle, the principle of the seed and the soil, and of every seed bringing forth after its kind, is all important. There isn't anything else as important. Let us note, according to Romans chapter 6, verse 23, that men are lost. They're lost because of sin. And the wage, what we actually earn by our sin, is death, spiritual death, eternal damnation. There is no salvation without the grace of God. None of us could, by any sort of meritorious work, undo any wrong we have ever done. The Bible teaches that apart from the shedding of blood, and it means there, of course, the blood of Jesus Christ, Ephesians 1 and 7, apart from the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Jesus died that men might be saved. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9, He tasted of death for every man. The offer of salvation because of the love of God is universal. It's offered to everybody. John chapter 3, verse 16, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Titus chapter 2, verse 11, for the grace of God hath appeared, bringing salvation to all men. And yet the Bible plainly teaches, even though salvation is offered to all, that not all will be saved. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus Himself said, enter ye in at the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction. And many are they that enter in thereby. But narrow is the gate and straitened the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Here's a warning that we must respond. We must submit our lives to the Lordship of Christ. We must recognize that He has the right to speak to us, to tell us what we must do in order to be saved and to stay saved. Not even all of those who believe on the Lord will be saved. Jesus Himself, again, made this clear in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father. Why is this the case? Because salvation is conditional. The Lord has made clear, I will give it to you, but you must respond to me in faith, in love, and in obedience. Jesus Christ offers to be the Savior of everybody, but as a matter of fact, He is the Savior only of those who obey Him. A member of the body of Christ, you can be, everyone can be, by the simple matter of obedience to the gospel of Christ. The record is given of the statement by Jesus and how very important it is in John 8, verse 32, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It's possible for us to know the truth, and knowing the truth and submitting to it properly means that we can be saved. Now, the Bible makes clear there is one God and only one God. There is one Lord Jesus Christ, that is one Savior. There is only one body and one gospel, one message. All of this made clear in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 to 6, as well as many other passages of Scriptures. However, in Matthew 24, verse 24, Jesus made clear that not only are there false Christs, that is, people who claim to be Christ, who claim to be the Son of God but aren't, there are also false prophets or false teachers. There are men who claim to be teaching what Jesus taught who are not really doing so. There are also false gospels. In Galatians chapter 1, beginning with verse 6, Paul said, I marvel that you're so quickly removing from him that called you in the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another gospel. Only there are some that would trouble you and pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we, that is, we apostles, though we are an angel from heaven, should preach unto you any gospel other than that which was preached unto you, let him be anathema. So there is a false gospel. There are, in fact, many false gospels. There are false Christs. There are false teachers. Jesus said in John 8, 24, except you believe that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. There's another very important truth that goes along with what we're saying here, and that is that only that in religion which is authorized by the Bible is acceptable to God. Paul said in Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, and whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord. That is, do all by His authority. We're all familiar with the expression, to do something in the name of the law. If someone commands us to open in the name of the law, we know that it means to do it and by the authority of the law. And so it is that whatever we do in religion must be authorized by the Bible. Now, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is the church that is described in the New Testament, is the one that Jesus came to build. And it's the one which He promised to build, according to the record of Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. Upon the truth that He is the Christ that Peter had just confessed, Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. The Bible teaches that the church is the body, and the body is the church. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and 23, Colossians 1, verse 18. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 4 to 6, it says there is one body. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 20, it says, in contrast to the plurality of the membership, there are many members, but one body. Christ came to build the church. He built it. He bought it with His own blood. It was planned in eternity according to the eternal wisdom of God. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. However, no human religious institution has been authorized. Neither I nor any other man has a right to invent some religious doctrine. It is only the Bible, the sacred will of God, this and this alone, the New Testament under which men live today. If I had the right to invent a message and bind it upon men and say, if you do what I say, you will be saved, it would simply be a misleading and a false thing for me to do. But if I have that right, then every other person has that right, and would mean that no one would need to pay any attention to what the Bible has said. Nowhere in all of the Bible, and listen to me carefully, is there any authority whatever for a denomination. The Bible authorizes the church for which Jesus died, the body of Christ. It is therefore, since every denomination exists without divine authority, they exist, and I say this kindly and lovingly, in deep and abiding concern, not only for my soul but for yours, that it is therefore a sin to enter a denomination because it is utterly without authority in the sacred will of God. The Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is authorized. I have given you that authority. And you can take your Bible and read much, much more than I have given here today. It is simply a fact that the seed, the Word of God, brings forth after its kind. If I were to go into a city and let it be known that I was planning to buy a property, to buy a ranch, so that I could raise, let us say, Tennessee walking horses. And a man came up to me and said, "Mr. Warren, I understand that you're looking for land to buy a ranch to raise Tennessee walking horses. I want you to know that I have a pair of prize hogs that I'd like to sell you to get that herd started." Everybody would know that that's utter foolishness. No one has any possibility whatever of taking okra seed and planting it in the ground and winding up with an orange tree or an apple tree. No one can take two hogs and wind up as a result with a horse. No one can take a human doctrine, one that I or anybody else invented in religion, and wind up with salvation for anyone or as members of the church. To be a member of the church for which Jesus died, the one which he purchased with his own blood, the one about which you can read in the New Testament, means simply that you must obey the gospel. That seed will result in your being just a Christian, a member of the body of Christ. Let's look for a moment at a little further illustration in order for me to get over the point that I'm making to you right now. Let's suppose over here that we have an orange seed. And this seed is planted in the ground, and it grows. Now, here's the tree. Over here, we have an apple seed, and it's planted in the ground, and it grows, and a tree results. Now, what will happen? Will we have from this orange seed an orange tree over here growing apples? Will we have from this apple seed the result of an orange tree giving forth oranges? We all know that that will not occur. But we also know that from this seed, if anything at all grows, in other words, if this is good soil, nothing happens to destroy the seed and its result, the result will be an orange tree with oranges growing. And over here will be an apple seed with an apple tree growing and with apples as the result. Now, let's make that application to what we're talking about here today, the seed of God. I'd like to ask you right now to open your Bible and read in Luke chapter 8, verse 11, "The seed is the Word of God." And it's talking there in the Scriptures about that seed being planted in the hearts of men and women. Now, let us say here is the seed of God, the Word of God. And over here is any other religious doctrine or human doctrine. Something that men have invented. So we have the Word of God and we have the Word of men. Now, if the Word of God is planted in a human heart, a good and honest heart, as made clear in Matthew 13 and Luke 8, the result will always be a child of God, a Christian, a member of the church for which Jesus died, the church, the one body about which you read in the Bible. The body is the church is the body, there is one body, there is no other. As surely as there is one God, there is one Lord Jesus Christ, one Holy Spirit, one hope of life everlasting, one faith, one gospel, one baptism, and one body. Now, this is the one and only way this can occur. Just as no watermelons will ever grow from an orange seed. No denomination will ever come as a result of the preaching, the believing, and the obeying of the will of God. In the same way, if there is a human doctrine, it will never occur. It simply will not occur that as a result of obeying human doctrine, one will obey or will become a member of the church which Jesus bought with his blood. He will not become a Christian. He will not be saved. He will not become a child of God. The Bible makes clear in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 10 to 12, that those who believe a lie, that is, a false doctrine, a human doctrine, if you will, and any doctrine which is invented by man is simply false from the standpoint of God. The result of that will be his damnation. I plead with you today, for your own soul and the soul of those whom you may influence, those whom you love, to open your own Bible and read for yourself and see that I'm telling you the truth. There is one body. There is one faith. That means one gospel. We know that the Bible teaches that there are not many Christs. If you do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you cannot be saved. Just as we know there is one God. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, the Bible says, without faith it is impossible. Notice that. Note how simple is the language of the Bible. Without faith it is impossible to be well-pleasing unto God. For he that cometh to God must. No, we all understand what that means. It means it cannot be otherwise. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You can't be saved without believing in God. If you're an atheist or an agnostic, one who simply rejected God, you cannot be saved. The Bible teaches that. And at the judgment, it makes clear that all who are unbelievers in God will be lost and will be ushered into eternal punishment. In the same way, you cannot be saved if you do not believe that Jesus is the Christ. If you do not understand that you cannot be saved by the meritorious works of your own activity, but you must be saved in obedience to Christ. You see that by works a man is justified and not by faith only, James 2:24. There must be obedience. Christ offers to be everybody's Savior, but as a matter of fact, he is the Savior only of those who faithfully and penitently obey him. Now this comes about as we think about the New Testament plan of salvation. In Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, the record says that Jesus told his disciples in giving the Great Commission, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Notice now, he did not say go into all the world and preach some religious message. He did not give them authority to go out and preach whatever they liked. That everybody has a right to his own belief and everybody has a right to preach whatever he likes. But he said, go preach the gospel. Continuing that statement, he said, he that believeth what? He that believeth what was to be preached. But what was to be preached? The gospel. Not merely some religious message. We live in a world in our own nation and around the world in which people say, it doesn't matter what religious message is preached, just believe it and do something, be a sort of a good person, and God will save you. But that is not the message of the Bible. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes the gospel and is baptized, that is, immersed in water, in obedience to the gospel, shall be saved. Now, friends, in the original language in which the New Testament was written, that is, the Greek of the first century period, these two words, believeth and is baptized, are used in such fashion that it simply would be impossible for that action to follow the action of the main verb in that sentence, which is, shall be saved. Now that makes clear that you do not believe after you're saved, and you do not you are not baptized after you're saved. I do not mean that faith does not continue after you become a Christian, but here is something that you must do before you become a Christian, before you're saved. If I hold my hand here, this is the point of salvation. Actually, it could be translated in this fashion. He who, having believed and having been baptized, shall be saved. Now, when you're baptized, the Lord adds you to His church. He doesn't leave it up to you to become a Christian by your faith, and then you go off and join whatever human denomination you like. But in your obedience to the gospel, the Lord saves you by the power of His blood, and He adds you, He puts you into the church which He planned in eternity, the church which He bought with His own blood, the church in which there is salvation. Christ offers to be the Savior of everybody, but as a matter of fact, He is the Savior only of His body, the church, and only the faithful in that body. This is what Paul taught in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23, being Himself the Savior of the body. Sometimes we hear the expression, the Lord is my personal Savior. Now, there might be a sense in which that could be explained accurately. But not if by that you mean one is saved as an individual, separate and apart from being a member of the body of Christ. For Christ is the Savior of the body. We must personally believe. We must personally repent and confess His blessed name. And we must personally be baptized. But the Lord is neither my personal Savior nor your personal Savior, separate and apart from the body of Christ, the church for which Jesus died and gave His blood. We cannot be saved apart from the shed blood of Christ, Hebrews 9:22, Ephesians 1 and 7. Romans 5, 8 and 9 says, but God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than now being justified by His blood, shall we be saved from the wrath of God through Him. You can't be saved without the blood of Christ. But where did the blood of Christ go? Into the purchase of the church. Now, I paid a few dollars for this coat, but the only way I can get of any value out of it is to wear it. Christ gave His blood. He made the offer to everybody to be saved. But you cannot be saved out of that for which Jesus gave His blood. I urge you, in earnestness, in love, that you turn in your own Bible and read, right now as I speak, Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Speaking to the elders of the church in Ephesus, Paul said, take heed unto yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit hath made you bishops, to feed the church of the Lord, which He purchased with His own blood. If you can be saved out of the church, you can be saved without the blood of Christ. My friends, I believe that we have made clear that the Bible, this is not my message, this is the Bible. If you know of a single verse in the Bible that authorizes me or anyone else to be a member of a denomination, I would appreciate your letting me know about it. But I am certain that I have shown today that the Bible teaches you can be just a Christian. You can be it without being a member of any denomination. And you can know that you're that just as sure as you can know if you plant an onion seed, if anything grows, it'll be an onion plant. If you plant an orange seed, if anything grows, it'll be an orange tree with oranges as the only fruit. Thank you, and may God bless you.